Today, we are pleased to be joined by Tori Aspinall and Michelle Coghill of Maybell Developments. Maybell is a local nonprofit out of Regina that is seeking to alleviate poverty through relationship and community. They do so with some programs already underway, but the main focus is the funding of a housing development for single women and their children called, I'm not sure if that's Lilium or Lilium Village. Tori Aspinall is a co-founder and the board president, and Michelle Coghill is a prior board member who was hired on as the executive director in December 2022. And we should have time after the presentation for questions, so welcome, Tori and Michelle.
Thank you, everyone, for having us. Very excited.
Yes, yeah, we were glad to be invited, and we're happy to be here. And yeah, please, if you have questions arising as we're speaking, we'd be happy to answer them when the service is done. So so Maybell Developments is a local nonprofit that was established here in Regina in about 2015, and so Tori, Victoria here, and her husband Scott Aspinall are the founders and co-founders, and the organization took root back in about August of 2015 following Tori experiencing what she believes to be a vision from God of a community of tiny homes with people of all different ways of life contributing to this community together. And so when she experienced this, she had shared it with her husband, Scott, and coincidentally, as he's in construction trade, he had also been researching the concepts behind tiny homes and tiny home villages that had already been popping up a little bit in the States. And so they were being stretched in their faith at that time to come to an understanding of where they felt God had called them to be in their own form of sharing the gospel, being that Scott, his family, he came from a missionary family, and they just wanted to truly understand where the Lord was calling them as a family at that stage in their life with young kids. And so after praying and reading scripture, they were convicted that this was something that they had called to as a local mission here in our city, that not every form of that needs to be done as the typical thinking of outside of your community or abroad, but that locally here in Regina there is a lot of there are lots of families who also can have needs of support here. So the name itself, Maybell Developments, also came about in a bit of a similar prophetic manner. And so Scott at the time had been working for Scott at the time had been working for a construction company where the two of his bosses were Christian leaders as well, or pastors. And so they would have weekly prayer and praise meetings at their sometimes at their work. And at one of the meetings, one of the co-workers had just shared that she had a bit of a vision of her own, and that she felt that it was for someone in the room. And she described seeing a valley with Lily of the Valley throughout. And Scott was compelled that perhaps she had been speaking to the things that they also had been working through at the time. They had been establishing the planning, but they had not shared their plans with anyone else. They were still just working through it together. And so Scott approached her and and let her know about what they had been, their plans and what they had been working on. And then also that evening he researched it a little bit more and learned that the lily of the valley, which is also known as a Maybelle, is a hardy flower that spreads quickly and thrives where few can. And so it just felt like a perfect name to fit what they were hoping to establish. And so that was basically how the foundational roots took place of where to go from there. And it's a good reminder for them, just the roots of how things started, is a good reminder that these efforts are things that are led by the Lord, and that we're not doing the work of our own hands, but and under our own power, but that we, you know, ultimately are working for Him. And so obviously lots has changed since 2015. So in the early years after they had experienced this drive to want to start this here locally, they met with some other local like-minded agencies that were already doing some ministry in Regina and did lots of research just to get an idea of what that would look like in our city and how that something like that might be started. And a couple of major things were determined to some of the specifics of what we stand for now. And one was specifically that truly addressing poverty is not just through the act of giving, but that there needs to be an investment in relationship, and that it's through relational restoration that people are able to make some of the changes or gather some of the courage to move forward in some of the things that have led them to poverty in the first place, or their circumstance has brought them into a place of poverty. And so in the course of that, one of the very first programs that had kind of come about, just to get an idea, just to get to know where things were at locally and to get to know some of the members of our community a little bit better, it was started with what's called the Advocacy Project. And so it was, they just literally, Tori, and yeah, go ahead, you can describe that. Yeah.
The Advocacy Project, it actually started very casually. It was just my husband and I walking around downtown Regina and visiting with people, and we heard a lot of stories that were very impactful in the way that we realized you can end up in these positions from a very normal life. We ran into several people who have great educational degrees. They've worked wonderful jobs, and then they hit a hard time and didn't have relationship to fall back on. They didn't have that community support behind them, and that's what led them to living on the streets. They have the means to have a living just like ourselves do, and just that lack of community support at one pinpoint of time in their lives has led to such a change of circumstances. And so that really impacted this advocacy project. It impacted a lot of what we do now with Maybelle, and alongside that as well, at that almost around the same time, actually, my husband and I went through a circumstance. We had two young kids at home, and I was a stay-at-home mom. That was the decision that we had made, and he lost his job. And it was very sudden. It was, the company's going under, we don't have a position, you're done, that's it. There was no 2 weeks, there was no go find another position while we continue to pay you, it was done. Had we not had strong family relationships, strong relationships with the community that we were in, we would have been some of those people living on the streets, you know, and being able to say, okay, you can go and work for your family for a time. You know, we have these options to move in with people for a period of time, get back on our feet, and then pick up where we left off. You know, that was a significant help to us, but it's not a help that a lot of people have. And so that's something that, you know, the Advocacy Project, hearing those stories, hearing how, you know, this is not people who are homeless, people who are struggling, are they're struggling because of a lack of support in relationships. This is not something that, you know, they were just headed there all their lives, and this is just how it is. You know, there's things that can be done, and that just comes a lot through relationship. And so opening people's eyes to that, that's what this advocacy project really does. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and it, I think one of the lasting effects that the starting point of the advocacy project has, and we hope to continue with that project in time too, so that we can share more stories, but also just putting stories and names behind faces, and so that you, there's just this personal connection, understanding that every individual, we all have a story, and that the story of those who are not seen as often are those who we view and see in poverty. They are just as worthy of love and are just as valuable as God's creation is, as any one of us. And so just making sure that that name is connected there, and it isn't just that we don't forget who they are as a person. And also during that time, as things were continuing, they were led to some of the foundational structure behind the programming that we would be led to. And that was initially through a resource called When Helping Her, which is, so it's a book that right now, it's currently one of the main starting points for some of the programming that is delivered through what's called the Chalmers Center in the USA. And so through our local church, Scott had been connected with that resource and had read it and made a lot of connections to what they were already building the roots on through what they were seeing, meeting with other local organizations doing similar things. And that led to the foundation of what some of our programming, some of the programming we already run, and what some of the programming will be once we are able to establish our housing development that we're in the midst of working towards. And that is some of the program basis is just, again, understanding some of the foundational things that are necessary to build strength on in order to have lasting change for families that may be experiencing homelessness or poverty, things in the financial world, work-life connections, and understanding tenancy training, things like that. And the programming has a very strong focus on, again, that relational, pardon me, that relational piece. So that is one of the major parts of our delivery of programming, is that those who are volunteering or who are participating in it, it isn't just a matter of sharing your information or just coming to serve for the hour and then leave. There's a strong opportunity to build relationship in through the programming each week, and ultimately that is what we hope to do when we deliver the programming, is to build relationships with those, lasting relationships with those that we hope to be a help to. And one of the programs that we currently offer and have offered, they started delivering it in 2018, is the Faith and Finances program. And so, like I said, it's been offered since 2018, and it's usually about twice a year. And on average, there's about 2 to 4 graduates that are coming from the programming per session. And just as I previously described, the foundations of it are providing that knowledge around finances, and obviously, as we've been speaking, there's a faith-based foundation to it that helps to put perspective towards the meaning of our relationship with money and some of the roots of that, and how that is a reflection of who we have been created to be. And then to backtrack a little bit, to just kind of describe another area that we had of learning that they'd had when they were first researching where to go with this local mission. They had also learned that the highest demographic that is in need of housing supports here in the city of Regina is single women and children. We know that there are others who are certainly in need of supports, but overwhelmingly, when you look at our shelter statistics year by year, the drastic amount of turnaways is single women and children. And annually, even just this past year, it's been exponentially increasing the number of families that are turned away because there aren't shelter spaces for them to go to. And it's well over 3,000 per year that are being turned away. And so obviously that just fueled where some of the plans were being focused to try and create additional resources that we, with the learning that they'd had, that we felt had a focus on things that would provide lasting change for these women and children. And so that is where we are headed with our programming. Oh, this is some of the pictures of our Faith and Finances graduates. Sorry. Yeah. So through the seasons, that's Scott. That's Tori's partner. Yeah. And yeah, it's all good. And then, so this is what we are working towards here when we speak about providing services for women and children. This is the concepts behind Lilium Village. And so we have been blessed to be able to come together with some local resources to gather the architectural renderings, the planning, and the physical blueprints to move forward with the project. And initially they had looked at, Scott and Tori had looked at possibly starting on a different plot of land in another area of the city, but just starting from ground zero and moving up, seeing that the cost of that would be far outside of what would be feasible in the project. They had all been meeting with a developer at the time who, yeah, sure.
I'm going to drop some names here. I hope that's okay. So we had originally started meeting with an architect named Bill Nair, and he had designed on a large plot of land up by an old school that had shut down, and we were looking at tens of millions of dollars. And having just been a startup, we were like, okay, we'll get there. This is God's thing. He can do it. We'll get there, kind of thing. And then after Bill had drawn up the plans, he looked at them and he gave me a call and he said, I have an opportunity for you. I think that this is going to be a really good match. So he let us know about a church in the city, Trinity Lutheran Church on Ottawa Street. So that's just east of the Doubletree Hilton and north of VicF. And he said they've been having some issues with being able to afford the place that they're in right now. And they're looking for somebody to lease out a portion of their building. And I said, okay, well, we'll check it out. So we went and we met with them and we did a tour. And the design that he had drawn up for us fit almost identically into the space that Trinity had. It was like a glove. It was impressive. So so that space inside of that building is a child care center, as well as our offices and our programming space. And then there was plenty of room in the parking lot for the housing development. So not only were we not way out in the middle of nowhere in this huge field that we would have had a hard time filling, but we're also able to benefit another church in the city and to work hand in hand with people who have very similar values to us, who are also seeking to help the homeless and those in need. So that was amazing to see. And then moving along from there, Bill said, I'm sorry, but I'm not doing this kind of work anymore. I'm changing my direction. And he said, I have a great recommendation of who you should go with for the actual project, though. And so he turned us over to Robinson Home. So we are now, they have designed the entire child care center, which is now up and running, 50 spaces, and it looks fantastic. And then also designing the homes that you see up on the screen here. So very, very grateful to have been working with them as well. So, and the way that God works through these things is just amazing to see and to look back on as well. So,
perfect. Yeah. When I had first started on at Maybell, I didn't know all of these background stories either of just how it's far outside of just coincidental how the connections were made. They definitely seem to be, purposeful and for a reason, and it keeps us working towards these things with the faith that we are doing the Lord's work and that He will provide a way, even if it doesn't look exactly like the initial plan that we hope for at the beginning of each year. So, as Tori had mentioned, we have been able to, in this past year, make some big changes at the Trinity Lutheran Church location where we're blessed to be able to start the development, and it has been going very well. In the background, what we are continuing to do is to make more and more connections locally with different resources, partners, finding relationships to bring this to reality. We know that these things take time, and just having the pieces all fall into place, the timing of it has been shifted in different seasons, but we're hopeful in this spring season to come to the place where we're able to break ground for the physical build. As we do so, there's obviously different ways that community members can be involved. Some of the biggest things that we share are a help is obviously just prayer, and being able to share in those prayers with one another. And then volunteer opportunities with our programming that is currently running through the Faith and Finances, and we also hope one of the other pieces through the Chalmers Center that we are hoping to run in the near future is a program called Work Life, which would be similar in concept to the Faith and Finances, but with a broader focus on some of the background behind how we were created to work and how we can build on some of those strengths to have just foundational job skills that are transferable to anything. And so we volunteers in that area is something that we is ways that community members can help. And another very big way is just being able to share about us with others, letting them know who we are. We currently have an ad running on UCB radio that we've had lots of people mention that they hear about us, and we're currently revamping the website, but there's a lot of detail on there too, just about who we are and what we do, and sharing with others about our name and encouraging them to take a look is very, very helpful, because we know it takes one of the foundational values that we stand behind is building this community through community, this is something that we obviously don't do on our own, and there are, like we've mentioned, a lot of moving parts that require a lot of other supports to bolster us up to be able to get to the place of being able to physically make the development a reality. And so spreading the word with others in our community, we have a lot of wonderful relationships with different trades that are helping us in our project, but certainly sharing with others is always something that's a help as well. And then obviously one of the other pieces is that we can't, it takes financial means to bring a building from nothing to something such as that. And so we're in the midst of that, and we're working hard, but also just that's another way that others in the community can help is just through the donation piece, and on our website it's pretty straightforward on how to do so if you're sharing with others, but if anybody had any questions at any time, we certainly will be sharing our information here, some pamphlets and cards, so that if anybody has any questions about who's who or who to contact, the information is on there.
Thank you so much, Tori and Michelle. The work that you've done already and thinking through all the policy is especially impressive. I'm going to use the word impressive. And thank you so much for your presentation today.